Praise the Lord, church. Glory to God. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Again, our deepest sympathies to the Rodriguez's pastor at this time. My wife lost her mother in June. My sister passed. You can't prepare for something like that. Most of us understand the hurt. But God's a comforter. He really is. Amen. There's a lot of people still sick. My wife has been sick for the last 3 days. I've been fighting something, and most of us have gone through something. And I want this to be a healing service. God made provision for it. And we should be able to receive what God has already paid for. Amen. And if you're watching this service live, well, it's like you're right here, because the centurion said to Jesus, "Now listen, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word, you know?" And that's how powerful the word of God is. If somebody watches this a week from now, it's still the word of God that can heal you right there and then. And what I'd like to see happen is I'd like to see faith start to build in this place, that God's word would be fulfilled in here. So I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 24. It says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." It's already been done, folks. And then if we go to the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, and verse number 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The word stripes means black and blue, bruised, hurt, and wounded. Can't imagine. I can't imagine how hurt he was. But if you can imagine that, if he paid that kind of price, then what will he do for us tonight? You may be seated. If you'll turn to one more scripture, it's found in Numbers, chapter 15, and verse 37. Numbers 15, verse 37, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all of the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye speak not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God." We're not holy unto each other. We're holy unto our God. We do it for God. We don't do it for ourselves, you see. What God did in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament is he gives object lessons, because, you see, God knows that human beings need visuals, objects. You know, the tabernacle is a perfect first grade school of redemption. So he gave the Jews the prayer shawl as an object lesson. And each and every one of us are Jewish. If we've been adopted, if you will, our God is Jewish, and so he brought us into the family. Now, they were to put tassels or fringes on the borders or corners of this garment that they put on their shoulders, and the Jews would often wrap the tassels around their fingers as they prayed to remind them of the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave them. 10 tassels on each side of the shawl. If you go to New York City, there's a lot of Orthodox Jews. You'll see them walking down the street, and they generally wear black and have a suit coat on. And just below the suit coat, you'll see these little white tassels that are hanging down. Well, this is where they got it from. There were 5 knots on each tassel to remind them of the 5 books of the Torah or the law. There were 4 spaces between the knots to remind them of the 4 letters in the name of God. They used YHWH, Yahweh. They didn't use the vowels because they were afraid to say the name of God. Aren't you glad we can say the name of God? There were 40 windings in each twisted twine, which equals the number value of the Hebrew words, the Lord is one. And Jesus suffered the same number of stripes for our healings, or 40 stripes. You see, church, God is very specific in his plan for us. Today, people aren't very specific. They think, well, you believe your way and I'll believe my way. But God has always had a very specific plan. When he called them out of Egypt, he told them exactly what they had to do in order to be released from the bondage. God is just as specific today as in the Old Testament. It's not just approach God anyway for salvation. There are certain things that God insists on. His plan was specific from the very beginning of creation, a specific plan of applying the blood of Calvary to our lives. There's a specific way that we need to be baptized by complete immersion, having the name of God called over us. And the priests, after they made the sacrifice, had to wash their hands in the water of the laver, and so we see the blood and the water was applied to them, and the blood is applied to us in baptism. The Bible is not a reference book. It's a book of carefully laid out instructions to be followed to the letter. And I'm afraid that society today just doesn't feel like there's specifics, that this book is in a kind of a general form. Now, the prayer shawl was called the tallith. It's still used at all of the major Jewish ceremonies, the bar mitzvah, the weddings, and even burial shrouds. It even inspired the Jewish flag. And as Jews, you were not to pray without this tallith on you. When we were in Jerusalem and at the Wailing Wall, every one of the Jews had this covering over them. The word tallith contains 2 Hebrew words, tal, meaning a tent, and ith, meaning little. Thus, every Jewish man had this his own little tent or tabernacle where he could meet with God. He would put it up over his head to form a tent, and he could totally focus on God in his own prayer closet. It's like Matthew 6 says, that we need to enter into our own closet, not be distracted by everything around us. It also represents God's covering of protection over them, a complete reminder, again, object lessons that God wanted them to constantly be reminded of. Now, since the fringes of the shawl represented his obedience to God's commandments, always able to reach down right where his fingertips were to remind them of God's law. To cut it off was the equivalent of saying, I don't care about God anymore. This was illustrated when David cut off the fringe off of Saul's robe while he was in the cave. He didn't kill him, but he cut off the tassels and said, you know what? You don't care about God anymore. David didn't kill him, but Saul knew his kingdom would soon fall because of not following God's word. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for making long tassels on their garments or wide blue ribbons just to demonstrate, look at me, I'm very religious, because they just wanted to do it for show. They wanted everyone to think that they valued God's law, but they were breaking God's commandments in their heart, you know? It's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside that makes the difference. Matthew 23 and 5 says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments. All again for man to see. Religion isn't a matter of us seeing each other. It's a matter of God, it's in my heart. I want to be reminded every day of what God has done for me and what God wants me to do. So if you'll turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse number 1, this is one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament. Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms or prayers, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. And then God goes into the Lord's Prayer. And how many of us for years and years repeated the Lord's Prayer? Just the opposite of what God's saying we shouldn't do, you know? And it's such a wonderful thing to hear the Word of God, not just some instructions that somebody gives us of what they think God wants us to do. Now, the talith is most likely the mantle that was the prophet Elijah passed on to his successor, Elisha. A double portion of Elisha's spirit was given through his mantle or talith. And there is something about obedience to God's word, getting alone with God in prayer, like it says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that brings power to our lives, not distracted in any way. And it's a wonderful thing that we're able to pray in church and come to the altar. But you know, there's power in getting by yourself, you know. A place in your house, perhaps, or a place special that you meet him. A double portion of God's Spirit doesn't happen just because we show up for church, but you know, we have it in our heart. I want to do what's right, God. Even today, Jewish weddings are often performed under a prayer shawl held up by four posts. It's like a canopy that they stand under in order to be married. This dates back to Boaz and Ruth, where the Talith was thrown over the one to be claimed for marriage. And that was a tradition. And of course, it implies or is a type and shadow of God, His Spirit coming over us when we are united with Him in marriage, taking on His name. In Ruth 3 and 9, Ruth said, I am Ruth, and thine handmaid, spread thy skirt or shawl as a wing over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman as to buy back a wife. What Ruth was literally saying to Boaz was, take me under your wing. And what we're saying when we're baptized in Jesus, take me under your wing. Take me under your protection. You know, for this reason, the corners of the prayer shawl are often called the wings. And so it was commonly known that the edges of the shawl was the wings. If you'll turn to Psalms. Chapter 91. I had a friend of mine tell me a couple of weeks ago, her son is in Annapolis Naval Academy, and while he was there, he was influenced by other cadets reading the Word of God. And she said to me, his favorite scripture is Psalms 91. And I said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High? I mean, and it was like shock that somebody actually knew what Psalms 91 says. But, you know, it is so fitting for what we're talking about. Verse number 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be like thy shield and buckler. We're covered by him, you know, superimposed by his Spirit. Amen. All of this instruction and visual object lessons were repeated over and over throughout the scriptures, but yet Israel continued to just not do what God wanted. And in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi writes to offer one last time the choice between hope and destruction. God always gives us another chance and another chance. So if you'll go to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Healings in his wings. Israel didn't listen. They didn't respond. And so God, you know, when you don't do what God wants you to do, and he makes it very obvious in many cases, then all of a sudden God doesn't talk to you anymore, or you're not feeling the presence of God. So for 400 years, God didn't have any prophetic ministry, and God did not respond to Israel at all until the gospel writer records the story of one person after that 400 years. Someone who finally put the puzzle together, it's not a religious scholar or a great religious leader that got this prophetic understanding. It was a little woman of no consequence who grasped what everyone else has missed for literally hundreds of years. So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. Can imagine, it was 12 years spending all your money, going to every doctor, trying every remedy, nothing happened, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." You can touch him tonight. Virtue can touch us and do more than any kind of doctor, any kind of health program, anything that you could possibly do for yourself. And God knows who touches him. He always does. The word border of his garment in the Greek means fringe or tassel. So why did she touch the tassel of Jesus' garment or the talith? For two reasons. First, they represent the word of God and the promises of God Almighty. You know, the 10 fringes, the 10 small knotted ropes, if you will. Second, Malachi said, "The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." You know, sometimes we don't understand how very common these scriptures in the Old Testament were to people then. They read it. They knew it. They heard it all the time. There was healing in the touching of the fringe of the talith, or the touching of the wings of God. She touched the holiest part of Jesus' garments, that which represented the name of God and the 40 stripes that he would take for the healings. That's where she got her healing. Yahweh, the Lord, is one. And the 40 windings in the tassel equal to the 40 stripes Jesus took. She approached Jesus from behind because it was against the law to touch anyone when you had an issue of blood. Normally, the impure defiled the pure, but in this case, it was the pure that instantly made the impure clean. So if you'll go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 35. "While yet he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he had come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed at him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Amen. So here we have a young girl that, she passed away. Now, her name was called Tabitha, but the word is really Tabitha. When Jesus reached out his hand to heal her, he was saying, Little girl who is under my wing, under my covenant, under my promise, under my tabernacle, I am covering you. Or little girl, arise even as my wings, if you will. Matthew 14 and 36 says, And he besought them that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Is there faith rising in this place? If I can only touch Jesus tonight. You've tried everything and everything's failed, and even chicken soup didn't work, you know? Got plenty of rest. I'm tired of resting. But there was some kind of faith in the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just touch just the edge of his garment, if I could have him cover me with his wings. Jesus said, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, Who touched me? You know? She knew, and so did he. Two people with a throng of people around him. You know when God's touched you. You know? We have prayer for the sick, and I see people. They're just touched by God. And faith is released because you have been touched by the great physician. The healer, the one who took the 40 stripes. Why did he ask when he already knew who touched him? Because somebody finally got it. They heard it. They read it. Somebody in that vast crowd believed that he was the Messiah. Somebody believed what he said 400 years ago, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And they understood. Is there somebody in the house that believes that tonight? Amen. We are Pentecostal. We were born in the upper room. We have the power of God inside of us, but he is always hovering over us like that cloud during the day and that pillar of fire at night. He's always there for us. Church, we have more of a right to touch him tonight than the woman with the issue of blood. We have a right to be healed by the touching of Jesus because we know the name of God. We not only know the Word of God, but we have acted upon what the Word of God says. You know, it's not enough just to repeat vain repetition, but to respond to what it says. To get alone, have a covering over us. Church, we are under his wings, under his covenant, under his promise, under his tabernacle, under his blood. Baptized in Jesus' name, the issue is no longer the blood. It's just a matter of touching the fringe of his holiness and understanding what he did for that woman we can have tonight. Amen. Glory to God. And every time that happens, there's a new testimony of what God has done for you. I had lunch this afternoon with somebody who just sort of stumbled in our church about 3 weeks ago, a man who was retired. He's 85 years old, has been a part of the Catholic Church all his life. And then when the pandemic came, that church closed down, and he started looking around for something. Walked in here all by himself, nobody invited him. First service, walked up to the altar, and the tears just streamed down his face because he touched God. You know, they say that most people find this truth before you're 30. But after you're 30 years old, you are so set in your ways that no matter what you say, no matter what you do, I'm not changing. Maybe it's spiritual pride. But God wants to open a door for whatever age people are. Amen. No matter what their issue is, it's an issue of blood or an issue of less self-esteem, you see, God wants to say, no, this is your time. Who touched me? I said to him today, I said, what happened? He said, God touched me. And it's a start to something great in your life. And I don't know how you feel tonight. I don't know if you're well or you have sickness or there's somebody in your family that has sickness. I know that God is more than capable. In fact, he's excited about touching you, you see. Because we have information, we have truth. We have seen this happen before. Damsel, arise. John Fitch, arise. Dead for 20 minutes. God brought him back. And that was 20 years ago. Hallelujah. He's still doing it. Glory to God. Amen. So, I hope there's something that built up inside us that causes us to be tenacious and more determined to get a hold of God. And this is not a selfish thing. God, I want to be healed. It's a right and a privilege because our God paid a price for it. And now you should be able to receive it. I said Sunday morning, I said, you know, at Christmas time, I'm more excited about giving than I am receiving. And I believe the most excitement in God's atmosphere is when he is able to give you the Holy Ghost, give you the healing, give you the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to give good gifts unto his children. Amen. So would you stand with me tonight? Are there any Tabithas here? Are there any of those who have said, you know what, I've put up with this long enough. I don't want it anymore. And are determined? Well, I think God wants to make some testimonies tonight. So we're going to open this altar right now. And we're going to believe that God's going to touch some people. If you're watching this live, why don't you do the same thing? Amen? Glory to God.